Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we want to make sure you have the best chance to listen to all the guitar content that's right for you. That's why we have a Patreon. patreon.com/guitar nerds. A veritable treasure trove full of interviews, mini-series, and a whole extra half-an-hour episode every week. patreon.com/guitar nerds. Get your nerd on. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Mark Packham.
Old Mother Hubbard.
Yes.
Guess who's back?
Guess who's back again. Return of the Mark.
Mark is back.
That's right. Joe, so we are Matt Knightless this week.
Guess who's back?
Matt Knight decided that he couldn't make the podcast this week, but we've just seen on our Facebook feed that he's just uploading pictures of him setting up his guitar. So there you go. There you have it, listener. That is dedication from Matt Knight. But don't worry, the three of us are here, and it is the first return of Mark Packham.
The return of the pack.
Hello.
In what's it
return
been? Nearly 10 episodes?
No. Something like that, yeah.
Wasn't it first week of July?
I think it was 175 that I missed, and this is what,
183.
Blink 183, the classic
Blink
band.
Blink 183.
So, yeah, it's what, 8 episodes or 10 episodes?
Yeah, something like that. And it's a really important episode for you to be back on as well, because, of course,
because Matt's not here. So you need, and it would have just been the two of us otherwise. Yeah.
That's just weird.
Because we needed a third person. And also, most importantly, this week has been the most important piece of news that happens every year.
Hold up there, baby.
Gibson have announced their complete new 2019 range of guitars, which is
That's not even the most important guitar news of this week.
Yeah,
I mean, I tell you what, that Moore thing that we're going to be talking about in a bit.
That is genuinely exciting.
I reckon just skip over the Gibson stuff.
Yeah, well, anyway, but first, we have got Mark Packham back. So, Mark, welcome. How's it been? How's not being a guitar nerd been?
It's quite weird being on the other side of the table and like not having headphones on to do the podcast and stuff. And,
you are literally on the other side of the table. It's really weird. I hadn't thought about that.
I always sit here.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I quite often sit there when I'm watching football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm on the other side of the table. That's why it's weird, because...
Yeah, you have...
Right,
you have
got it in reverse. It's me who's on the wrong side of the table.
So that's a bit weird. Like, normally, I think this is the first podcast we've ever done where I haven't worn the headphones been in charge of the thing.
And I think what is really interesting... Listener, this is a bit of sort of behind the curtain news for information for you about Guitar Nerds. In order to continue to receive his paychecks from Guitar Nerds, Mark does have to, he has a certain amount of work he has to perform, an amount of airtime that he has to be involved in. So he is, of course, doing the bare minimum.
Yeah,
so
we thought
we
were going
to have to pay him.
We thought we were going to chop him out and get,
buy him out. Yeah.
Not buy him out, just, you know, default out.
Yeah.
So I don't have to, like, receive, like, non-domicile status. I have to return to Guitar Nerds
land
once every 3 months so that I still get the checks.
But you have.
I tell you what, wouldn't it be good if we did actually make any money out of doing this? Like, in all seriousness, it would be quite fun.
Yeah, it would be.
Patreon.com/guitarnerds.
Well, the thing is like, I'm always hearing about, like, on 60 Cycle Hum, Ryan and Steve being like, oh yeah, I used my podcast money this week to buy this and that, and I'm like, why don't we get any money? Like, we just don't. Like,
we just had a pizza.
Yeah, we did just get a pizza. Yeah, you're right.
It was a good pizza. Anyway, Mark, now that you're back, you've moved over to Reverb, and you've been doing some fantastic stuff there, mostly flooding the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, with various Reverb adverts.
If they're not adverts, it's important information, so...
That is true. It has been great.
So, I mean, not all of it's been great. Some of it's just been ridiculous. But, you know, things like the 2019 Gibson reveal that we're about to talk about. We had a fantastic article up there, you know, that talked about some of the highlights of the range and stuff. I thought, why not share that? Yeah. You know, it's not like we write these news on guitarnerds.net.
There was that... Anymore. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's gone now. There was that £10,000 guitar that was shaped like a... an old Wild West revolver, made by a northern English guitar builder, wasn't it? No, it wasn't ridiculous. The hammer was the volume.
Just ridiculous.
Or was it? No, the hammer was the tone, and the trigger was the volume.
I tell you what I do like is finding the most obscure headless guitars on there and then just sending them to you.
Yeah, I was actually really enjoying that. What did you send the other day? One of those, do you remember, if you remember, the Steinberger, the old Steinbergers, before they were, I assume they made the rectangular Spirit shape, which is currently the flagship model.
I don't know what that one was actually called, but it had the same body as, do you remember the Ovation Deacon? It had that body shape, but it was headless.
Almost a horizontal guitar. It's sort of a
guitar. But isn't it weird? But like, we look at that, and even a couple of years ago, we'd be thinking, that's ridiculous. No one will ever make a guitar like that again. And now it's all about, you know, these like headless
Steinberger
math rock. Yeah, the one that I'm trying to think of.
Strandberg. Ormsby.
Yeah, people are just doing those guitars again. And a few years ago, we would have gone, no one's ever going to buy that.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Can I please introduce you to a little concept called All of This Has Happened Before, and It Will Happen Again.
I've not missed this in the slightest. Absolutely. Do you know who never says that? My Reverb colleagues. things that are in fashion at the moment, headless guitars that look like cricket bats and power amps, rack power amps.
Yeah, like, It's a return to all things digital. But actually, you being so exposed to gear again has led to you doing something that you don't often do. You've bought a new guitar.
Bought a guitar, innit? So it turns out. So we have at Reverb. We've got an office in Amsterdam, and I had to go there for a meeting recently. And sat in the meeting, we were just sort of sitting around chatting. You know, meeting hadn't really got started, and on the Reverb app or on the site, there's a feature called your feed. And what that allows you to do is basically set up a kind of almost Instagram-style feed of listings of things that you would like. So, for example, mine, because obviously, you know, I kind of work there and I've got to cover loads of stuff that includes guitars and drum kits. And I've got basically all the categories in the feed. So everything that's in the UK... pretty much comes up on my feed.
Oh,
so
I didn't realize you could make it UK specific. Yeah, you can make it. That was always my problem with the feed. Totally. Is that I couldn't see all the American
exactly.
stuff.
You just do a search for the thing that you want and filter it by UK, and then you save that search to your feed. So, yes, obviously mine is like everything. But let's say you just loved, for example, Sunburst Les Paul Juniors. This is my other account. My alt account has this on it. You could just search Les Paul Junior. Brilliant. Filter by UK, filter by used, add to feed. And the only things that you would then see in your feed would be nice used Les Paul Juniors. So, to get around to my original point, I was in this meeting, we hadn't started yet, and I was like, I'll just scroll through my feed, have a little look, and up pops a guitar by a company called Phoenix, Phoenix were basically a manufacturing plant in...
It was Felix by Young Chang, wasn't it? Young Chang?
Something like that. Yeah, it doesn't say that on this. It used to say it on the Fender style guitars, but it doesn't say that on this Les Paul. So Phoenix were a Korean manufacturer from... Well, I don't know if the factory's still there or not, but from about the kind of late 80s through to the early to mid 90s, they were manufacturing Squire guitars. And alongside that, they were also doing their own range of guitars that were Strats and Tellys. And I think the arrangement with Squire basically went something like, oh, you're doing these brilliant Squire guitars, love all that. You're also basically just doing the same thing with Phoenix on the headstock. Can you just stop doing that? So Phoenix said yes, because they obviously wanted to keep the Squire license. But what they went on to then do were Gibson-style guitars. And the one that popped up in my feed was a Phoenix Les Paul Custom in white, from about 1990, I think it's 92 or 93, something like that. So, Korean made. It's absolutely fantastic. It didn't cost me, let's say it cost me less than £200.
199.
Yeah, 99p. And it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, it's of the rough ilk of the kind of like, I don't know, I would say it's like slightly better than a Korean Epiphone.
Does it weigh a ton?
It's quite heavy. I mean, it's a Les Paul Custom. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know how many pieces of mahogany it is, but it's a low number of solid mahogany. So it's always going to be quite heavy. And this one needed a little bit of work. So far I've replaced I bought a new tailpiece because the other one is rubbish. I bought some strap pins, because the strap pins that were in there were a silver strap lock in the top one, and then just a wood screw in the in the base. So I've replaced those with a couple of gold ones. It's got
gold.
It's a Les Paul Custom.
It's a Les Paul Custom.
It's the hardware gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only acceptable guitar to have gold hardware on. It's a white Les Paul Custom.
And yeah. Black binding.
Black binding. Yeah. Well, no, black and white five or whatever it is.
Oh, of course.
Black
binding.
So it's got the original pickup in the neck, which sounds okay-ish. And then in the bridge, the guy, when he advertised it, said, at some point in the 90s, he put in a Demarcio distortion. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Super distortion.
Yeah. In the bridge.
Great pickup.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound very good.
I mean, for one thing, is it a great
for,
drive pickup?
For sounding like Blink 182 between the years of like yeah, 2001 and 2006.
No, that was the Invader, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
the Invader.
But it's got Green Day with a super distortion.
Yeah, it's got very much that sound. And personally, I don't think it sounds that good because it sounds very, very focused. It's like incredibly mid-rangey, like those Invaders were, or you know, like probably the Green Day sound. And it's like, it's too much, really. I don't really want that sound. It's like so focused. And it had also that pickup had obviously been in the bridge a while, and then someone had just, or the previous owner had put a gold pickup cover just over it. And you know, like, like the pole pieces weren't in the right place. Yeah. And you know, obviously, if you buy a humbucker, the pickup is usually like wax. Like potted into the pickup, into the cover itself.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, it was just loose and like rattling around. So I've taken that off. So for the moment, it's got like a gold, whatever, Phoenix humbucker in the neck and this uncovered super distortion in the bridge. But I'm going to buy some pickups for it.
Any idea what you're going to do?
No, no.
Monty's?
Not yet. Maybe Monty's. I've got a conversation with Matt from Monty's about something else, so I'll see if he can do me a sweet deal on some of his pickups. I don't know. I've also got a wiring harness coming from Gun Street. Gun Street are going to be doing me a Les Paul wiring harness for
it.
Are
you doing anything fancy with that?
Don't think so. I just said, I've got a Phoenix Les Paul Custom. Can you do me a wiring harness? And he said, yep. Okay, no problem. So that's coming at some point. But yeah, I don't really know what else to do with it. The tuners are okay. The rest of the hardware's fine. It's
How
just
was
a cool little guitar.
It's
set up for nines, and right. It feels like it as well.
It was, yeah, I mean, I picked it up. I was there, I think, the day you got it or the day after.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
I went in and I was like, I looked at it and I was like, okay. And I picked it up and it played okay. I mean, obviously, I find it, I suppose one of the benefits of selling on an online site as opposed to selling on Gumtree is that like you don't have to change the strings, because like, you know, the person who's going to buy it probably isn't going to play it. Whereas, you know, you sell on Gumtree or on Craigslist or whatever, like you're going to have to change the strings because someone is probably going to come around and try it. And if it's got horrible strings on, they're going to be like, no thanks, mate.
To be fair, the strings on there don't seem particularly old. They're just...
Have you still not changed them?
No.
Oh, man, they were awful.
They're not that bad. They were like...
They're fine.
You can't play a Gibson with nines.
No, sure.
Sevens. Billy Gibbons, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So... Yeah, the string's definitely changing, but I'm waiting to see what I'm doing with this wiring harness. There's no point at the moment...
In doing anything proper.
Taking the strings off, putting a new set on, and then in a week's time, some new pickups turn up and the wiring harness turns up and I've got to change everything again.
I don't really understand why you bought it, though, because you do already have a really good Les Paul.
Incredibly cheap.
Right, okay, so you're getting into the world of flipping.
No, not at all. It's just I knew it was a very good guitar and it was not very expensive. Right, and the things that I need to do to it are probably going to mean that it's going to cost about what it would have cost to buy it at its price that it should be.
Right, okay.
So in the end, I've saved no money, really. But right, okay. What I've ended up with is an absolute banging guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sounds cool.
I suppose you don't have anything with humbuckers.
Yeah. I've got nothing with humbuckers. Well, I do, actually, because I've got that Strat.
That Squire.
So you don't see a lot of those Phoenix.
Oh, totally.
The Gibson style versus the Phoenix. They really didn't make it.
It was
it
just
here.
Something to, like... It came up in the feed, and I thought, look, keep this one in the family. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a good one, and it's you got to grab hold of it.
Absolutely, completely. This week, I got a Headrush pedal board.
Okay.
And I really like it.
Okay.
They're really good. I'm completely...
When you say pedal board, you mean a Headrush?
I mean a Headrush. It's cool. Well, here's the thing. I was talking to Dan from Headrush, and he was like, yeah... It's a bit of a problem, really, because everyone calls it the Headrush, but Headrush is just the brand.
Yeah.
It's called the pedal board.
That's a really bad name, though.
Yeah, it's a terrible name. It's a terrible name. But the idea, I think, you know, I assume eventually they'll try and add some more products to sort of their line or try some other things, in which case I guess it will become more of a brand name. But, you know, whilst they've only got one product by this company, everyone's just going to call it Headrush. But yes, it is the Headrush pedal board. And I think it's really good. I really like it. I'm thinking maybe I'm done with pedals and stuff.
Just ditch it.
Yeah.
Didn't you do a video recently about that for GAC?
Yeah, I did. I did how to. Oh, they loved it. They got hold of me afterwards. The US marketing manager actually listens to my band.
The
commenters.
And the videos about is it time to ditch your pedals?
Oh right, no, that was actually about the HX effects. The Line 6.
What I'm
HX
saying is,
effects.
What are the commenters?
What do
say
people
about
think?
That?
I think everyone's, you know, most people who are sort of into pedal boards are probably into. I think there's still a big divide in the amongst players, because I think people who are into gear will always like analog pedals and will like collecting, will like building boards, will like the ability you have to tailor something specifically to yourself by making something with lots of...
I'm not sure that's really true anymore, because, I mean, think about someone like Mikey Demas.
Well, absolutely.
You know, someone who's super into their gear, got loads of great pedals, goes out and buys the stuff that he wants that's cool. Like, he's got a broadcast, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got
one of those Tate Brexit Means Brexit.
Yeah, he's got a load of really great stuff, but he also uses Axe FX.
Yeah, sure.
And so I think that you are, and I think has he been talking about Kemper? He's been talking about...
Oh, yeah, he uses Kemper.
Oh, he uses Kemper as well. But I think that's the point, is that I think we've come to this kind of weird crossroads where people who, traditionally, I agree, I think there was always two camps. There was people who like pedals and people who like simple all-in-one setups. And, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, when we were working in the shop, it was you either bought like Boss and Earthquaker pedals and MXR pedals and TC, or you bought Axe FX. And now I think the lines have become blurred, and I think people are doing both.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of things like the Helix, and less because of Axe FX, because I think... I think this is a really good example, actually, because Axe FX you could only ever buy direct, whereas stuff like Kemper, stuff like the Headrush pedalboard, stuff like the Line 6 Helix, you can buy and try in stores. And I think that probably the people who would maybe have gone over to Axe FX, had they had the opportunity to try it, weren't going over to Axe FX because they weren't having the opportunity to try it, and they are now going to places like Headrush and Line 6 because they've been able to try it and they've gone, actually, this is really good and it's a great gigging option.
Well, in that case, do you think the divide now is between people who play live and people who collect and mostly play at home?
No, I don't. I definitely don't.
Why does Mike Ademus collect pedals and then use Axe FX? Is that because it's more reliable? Because certainly that was a massive consideration for me in using the Headrush. I was like, well, if I get this one thing, I don't have to worry about power supplies and patch cables and anything else, you know. And it, like, you think about when you have to troubleshoot live, if you have
a big
pedal board, that can be an absolute nightmare. I've been there a few times, and it's a horrible experience.
It can be as well if something's not working in a patch.
Oh, of course, that's
probably even more difficult.
Yeah, of course, yeah. If an entire Headrush pedal board goes down,
even within a patch itself, you know, let's say something's like not behaving itself that was unexpected, you might have to dive into the patch and go through a ton of settings or remove an effect or whatever to get it sorted.
I guess you're right. I guess that's not necessarily the advantage of them then.
But I guess the question is the same thing. Is it comes back to that age old question of like, why would you have a Strat and a Tele? Like, they're both doing the same job at the end of the day. Yeah. They just sound a bit different, and you know, it's a nice thing to have both of them. You know, you could totally have a Helix, and you know, you use that 50% of the time, and you've got a bunch of pedals that you play with 50% of the time.
Sure, true.
That's the reason people would have both. There are practical things for it as well. You might use the Helix live and pedals at home.
Absolutely.
Totally. But also, they're just nice things to have, aren't they?
Yeah. Pedals are a great thing to have to sort of mess around with and collect. Do you know what? It was just the ease of... I love the idea that I can sit down for 30 minutes with the Headrush and like build a totally new board for a totally different genre of music.
Yeah.
I like the versatility of that. I think it's super cool. Anyway, enough about all this jazz. We should crack on with some news because there's some very exciting news this week. News. So first up on the news, we have the new, and this is the most exciting thing that will ever happen this year. Well, next year.
What are you talking about? Player stuff's already come out, mate.
The new 2019 Gibsons. That's right.
That was really weird. Like, kind of pretending Gibsons. To yell, but like didn't move away. And
it's have you ever seen that footage of when Craig, the...
Craig David?
No.
Craig Everyone.
This is going on a bit of a tangent, but when Craig wins the first series of Big Brother...
I knew you were going to talk about Big Brother. Right. I knew you were going to talk about Big Brother.
So Craig, who wins the first series of Big Brother, you know, he's... Just for your same thing, that when you're going, yeah... when he wins, seems like a bit of a... You know, he's not the brightest spark. When he comes out... There's no real crowd because there wasn't really crowd back in the series one of Big Brother. When he comes out the door and he goes, yeah, to himself as he comes through the door. Like a little
crowd. Is he like mic'd up and stuff?
Yeah, he's got a mic on. He goes, yeah.
Well, he makes that like pretend big crowd noise.
Yeah. It's really funny.
That was in
1999,
the year 2000.
Oh, was it?
Year 2000. He on his Wikipedia page now, Craig Phillips.
Are you sure? I thought it was 1999.
I mean, that's what it says on his
I think that might be wrong.
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Do some further googling. Okay. Series one of Big Brother.
Big Brother 2000. Yeah. First series, Big Brother 2000.
Really?
Craig Phillips is an English builder, DIY expert, television personality, and presenter. There you go.
And virtual crowd.
One-man virtual crowd. Anyway, Gibson have released their new 2019 range of guitars, and they're exciting. They're slimmed down, and there are some actual crackers in the lineup, which I think might include my favourite thing Gibson have released. Boy, I don't... Maybe since I've been working in guitar shops. Right, of all the new things that Gibson have released, So, of course, what I'm talking about here is the, and I posted a picture of this in the Guitar Nerds Facebook forum. I'm talking about the Les Paul Junior Double Cut. I think it's a tribute. I think they're calling it a tribute.
Yeah, they are. DC Tribute. DC Tribute.
But one absolutely fantastic guitar. Single P90 Double Cut Les Paul Junior, available in some great colours. Well, three great colours and one absolutely weird choice. So a very tasteful black, a lovely cherry, a gorgeous, like, three brown, and a blue.
A
dark blue.
Dabba-dee, dabba-dye.
So weird. Blue. So no TV yellow, but they'll release a blue.
So they will never do a TV yellow one.
They won't. Blue Stain is the blue one. Absolutely. So I actually played these at NAMM, and they are very good. It's for me, the Junior is absolutely the pick of the bunch, but the Junior was always going to be the pick of the bunch.
Of course it was for us. It certainly will be.
But did I tell you that whilst I was over there having a look at them, one of the guys from Gibson came over and we were just sort of talking about this, that and the other. And I was like, oh man, like Double Cut Junior, like what other colours is it coming in? And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, it's not coming in, TV yellow. And I was like, how did you know I was going to say that? He was like, well, I listened to the podcast. So obviously I knew what you wanted. And I was like, oh no. And like, really, really, like, yeah, we had a good chat. It was really funny actually. But, these look really cool. The Juniors look absolutely fantastic. I don't understand though. It's like a weird scratch plate. It's not like a proper Junior. But the shape is a lot better than it has been for a really long time.
Oh god, that weird like Mickey Mouse ear one they've been doing for a while.
So the horns have changed over the years on the Junior, and some of the sort of horn choices by Gibson haven't been great. Now the reason that the plate is different is obviously so that they can keep the routing really, really simple. So it's an all-in-one plate. And that is of course to keep the price down. I don't know what they're coming out in dollars, but over here in the UK, they're hitting shelves at £650.
Which is fantastic.
And I have to say, I know like we talk about things like the SLs. The Melody Makers, sorry.
There was the N25 or something like that, was it?
I was thinking of the Melody Makers, Amazon exclusive Melody Makers.
The ones that you ended up getting.
Yeah, I know they were like £250 cheaper, but certainly even if you want to look at the things like the 2018, like Les Paul, the Warn series, I can't remember what they were. It was like it doesn't matter, but they were like a basic sort of £500-600 Gibson, and a £500-600 Gibson always looks like a £200-300 guitar from any other company. Like there were so many corners being cut, and I have to say, I expected that on this, but I was gonna be like, I don't mind because it's a Double Cut Junior. Nah, there are none. It's fantastic. The finish, I was really trying to capture in some of the photos I've taken how 3D there's a slight flaming to the top on the brown one that we got in, and I was like, this is great. And the white plastic button tuners, everything about it is absolutely on point, with the exception of the scratch plate, which I think will bother some people. I'm just like, oh, it's a different scratch plate, it's fine. This is a £650 Gibson that's wicked.
Yeah,
great guitar.
Yeah, the scratch plate, I hadn't thought about it like that, but it is, yeah, it's just a routing thing, isn't it? So they can basically just swimming pool the whole guitar. Yeah. Not swimming pool it, but it can be one big route rather than having to run something through the body to the jack, which is what it would be on a traditional Junior. Yeah, interesting to have the jack on the front of the Junior, because normally obviously it would be on the side as well. So again, cost cutting measures, and you know, I don't think it's that bad. I'd imagine the process of doing a proper Junior makes it a lot more expensive to do the routing.
Interesting. It's great. It really is. It's really cool. I think, but the thing is with the Gibson stuff, and this will probably segue us through to the next couple of models. I've never had a problem with. I think Gibson have always done cheap Gibsons really well. Like, look back at the LPJs, like not Les Paul Juniors, but the actual model LPJ when they were, you know, two humbucker. Really, really nice mahogany body. They just didn't have a maple cap.
Yeah.
Have like a flame maker. You know, they weren't coloured. They were just kind of like satin finished. I thought those guitars were wicked. Like really, really good for the money. It's just when you get through to like the studios where it's always felt like kind of a not quite the distance it needed to go.
Sure. So let's talk about the studios in this year's lineup. They've introduced a new finish, which in the studios, which I think might be the all-time worst looking and worst named colour.
No, the without a doubt, nothing will be worse than the pink fade.
Okay, yeah.
That, or the green. I don't mind that.
No, oh, I didn't like any of those fade finishes. Okay,
they were like a dipped burst,
oh,
weren't
mad,
they?
Sort so of,
like,
bad.
In the 2018, that was the 2018 high performance series by Gibson. But no, yeah. The this one in question features only on the 2019 Les Paul Studio, and it is named Barbecue Burst.
Is that really what it's called?
It is called Barbecue Burst, and it is sort of like so if you're really into like spare ribs and you really like Les Paul Studios, well, don't worry, there is a there is now a finish for you, sort of a burst that goes from black to a very, very dark reddy blacky brown.
Weird.
Like it's
I don't mind it.
I quite like, yeah, wow, that's a really weird. It does, it looks,
I'm
like
into that.
It looks like ribs. Like rib sauce.
It looks like rib sauce.
I thought you were going to say this kind of like bright orange burst.
Oh, no, the tangerine burst.
Yeah, that's a lot worse.
Okay, so the studios in general, I think we all agree, is a really, it's a rubbish looking series. This
time. I just don't understand why they've put binding and blocks on it.
Yeah,
like, I thought
so
the whole,
it's not
like
a studio.
Yeah, it's very, well, I mean, fine, you know.
Good, yeah, good on them. Good on them.
Great to have binding and blocks. It's just a bit of a weird choice.
And they've got
binding and blocks on the neck only, and not on the body.
They've got coil tap. They've got coil split.
Oh no, that's like coil split is like Gibson's new robot tuners. It's literally
it's on everything.
Yeah. Oh, it's really annoying. Yeah.
But I don't mind that. You know, they're not with the coil splits.
this little I don't know if this is just on this particular shop's blurb about it, or whether this is like part of the press release, but this with two push-pull volumes, coil tap, two tones and toggle switch, ensure the versatility when you need it. So it's, right, so it's a guitar, yeah, is what you're saying.
It's got to cut the coil taps on it. I don't mind the coil taps because they don't make any aesthetic difference to the guitar.
No.
And you don't have to use them if you don't want to. Yeah. Obviously, you know, our problem with the robot tuners a few years ago was
it was just
they looked
everyone.
Awful. They didn't work very well, and you had to have them.
I'm telling you, mate, they're a future classic. 2015 Gibsons are going to If you've got one, hold on to it. Keep those robot tuners.
Yeah. Please just stop messing up my my Gumtree feed when I look at when I'm looking for a Les Paul Junior.
Gumtree feed.
Yeah, Gumtree. Yeah, yeah. Out my favourite place to buy secondhand.
Absolutely, out of order. Have you tried to sell something on Gumtree recently?
It's
the absolute worst.
It's exactly the same as it always has been. Weird people come around to your house and ask to use your toilet and then don't buy the guitar.
I've also, again, this is a bit of a tangent, but I've tried to sell a Hoover on Facebook Marketplace this week, and I've had five different people say, "Is this still available?" And you go, "Yes, still available. Come around whenever you want." No response. Like, why would you send the initial message to say, "Is it available?" if you had no intention of then following up when it is available?
Can I make a confession?
What?
I did this exact thing really recently with a vacuum cleaner.
Do you want a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, I keep meaning to tell you that I want to buy that vacuum cleaner off you.
It's £200. Are you giving us a lift tonight?
I've had two beers. Oh,
so God. one of the other series that has taken a bit of a weird switch is the classic. Now the classic.
Classic looks good.
The classic does.
Classic does look good. And I saw these in I saw these at NAMM, and they also looked very cool.
But my problem with the classic is, I don't understand why you'd reuse that name. So the classic last year in 2018 was essentially like a 56 styled Les Paul with P90s.
Because that's wrong. That was the problem. My problem last year is that Gibson have done a guitar called a classic for a long time, since the 90s.
But doesn't it make sense to sort of style it after it? Like, why call it the classic, then give it sort of like 70s style Zebra humbuckers and coil
they've always
tappable.
Had that. The classics have always had that.
2018,
though. Apart from 2018. That was the year that was weird. That was the year that was weird. Every other year that they've done classics has been Uncover pickups, and they used to have a scratch plate that said 1960 on them.
Yeah.
Which was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Just like a weird little inlay. I think they look good. That's what a classic should be to me. Like, I think P90 Les Pauls should be something else entirely. Like, that should be off to the side. You know, you've got your standard and your classic. What is the difference between the classic and the traditional? Is that just neck shape?
So I imagine it's neck shape. The cost-wise, the classic is aiming at, I guess, sort of competing with the Fender Professional series.
Right.
Coming in slightly more. They're priced at around £1,800, yep. The classic. So they're kind of the... They're the person who wants an American guitar to gig with regularly. Price point.
Can I point out a guitar in the range that I quite like the look of?
Yes.
The ES-235. So the 235 is basically a like Florentine cutaway, like big hollow body style guitar.
So this isn't quite in the 2019 range, but yes.
Is it not?
Well, it is, but it's Memphis, it's not.
Yeah. But it's new guitars that have been announced.
Absolutely,
this
week.
Yeah, fine. So, there's 235, which I guess looks like a 125.
Yeah.
And what's so good about it is that it's incredibly affordable. It's the cheapest hollow body they've made for a long time. I've only got the dollar price of $13.99.
Right. Yeah, I'd been speaking to the guys from Gibson. They said there is a move to make... To divide up Memphis into two areas. So there's very much going to be a Memphis custom shop, which of course there always has been. But most stuff that comes out of Memphis hits a certain price point. And certainly he was saying that for them, it's weird that, you know, something like a 335 can be as popular a guitar as it is, but it's only available at an extremely top tier. So they're going to start making affordable, accessible Memphis guitars, which is great.
Sorry to pull you up on something there, but I don't think that's true. When you say Memphis has always had a custom shop, Memphis is where they made some of the acoustic. I mean, at least this is when I went to Gibson in 2010. Uh-huh. At the in 2010, all of the hollow bodies were made in the custom shop, which is in Nashville. All of the hollow bodies. So,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like, even kind of the cheaper stuff, the quote-unquote budget 335s, which were at the time probably still... I think the cheapest one you could get then was probably like $18.99.
Yeah, definitely.
Even those were made in the custom shop, which was probably like close to a grand cheaper than any Les Paul custom shop model you could buy at the time. But then they moved all of the production of all of the hollow bodies to Memphis, where they were making some, but not all, of the acoustic guitars.
Yeah.
Because some of the acoustic guitars are also made in Montana, I think. And then it was only very specific, like really high end. It became like a big deal if you got like a Nashville made 335, because that was made in the custom shop. So I find that quite interesting. I think it's good that they're doing some cheaper stuff, but I think it's... I'm not sure about it being the custom shop. I'm a little bit confused about that.
Well, the as in the Memphis custom shop.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think
the hollow body custom shop.
Yeah, but that was always Nashville.
Right.
That's my point. Is that like Nashville made 325s were like they were made in the custom shop in the which
okay,
is a
yeah,
separate
I'm
building
not necessarily
to the
100%.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit confused by that. That's all. Sorry, I'm not trying to.
No, not at all.
The long and short of it is they're making cheaper guitars, and in fact, even I'm just looking at the Reverb article now. They are there is a line in there about also the 2019 335s are going to be considerably cheaper compared to the 2018.
That's good because they had been out of control.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
The pricing on 335s is just out of control.
And it's such a shame for a guitar that's so universally loved and could easily be, you know, be as well used as, you know, as a lot of Fenders and sort of entry level Gibsons are. It's just no one can afford them.
And it looks like, as well as the price dropping on a regular standard production 335, they're also reintroducing the 235 Studio, 339 Studio, and 335 Studio.
I imagine they're
going to be kind of stripped back, no frills.
Yeah, well, there were 335 and 339 Studios. When I was working in the shop, like they were still in there when I left the shop, which would have been what 2015.
Wasn't that the series where they had one that looked like a black guitar, but the more you looked at it, it was like midnight blue.
They were those, and they only had one single volume, single tone.
They were a bit odd.
Yeah, but they were. They were cheap though. They were like $13.99 or something.
Cool
which
guitar.
Obviously for I don't know. I think they were a cool guitar, but it kind of didn't have all the features that you kind of want from a 335.
Or just for it not to be like this weird blue color and to just be black or cherry or whatever.
Yeah.
There's also new offsets, isn't it? Like, you know, Explorers.
Well,
this is
the thing that's actually got me really intrigued. And in particular, the one model that I'm looking at that I think is what top work for them to do, a left-handed Explorer.
Yeah,
like,
well,
that is very, very cool.
Left-handed guitars across the board, every single range has at least two left-handed models, in some cases more.
That's
fantastic.
Do you know what? When we when I posted this article, the Facebook tagline was like, which of the new models, you know, has caught your eye the most, or which of the new models are you going to be picking up, or whatever. And so many of the comments were like, none, because I'm left-handed. And like, I didn't get around to it in the end, but I wanted to go through and just say, actually, there's tons of left-handed options in 2019. You should really check out what they're doing left-handed, because it is impressive, the amount of left-handed guitars.
Do you know what would also be impressive were if Gibson provided pictures of the left-handed one, so I didn't just have to flip reverse them for the for the web listings.
It's really cool. So they're doing Carina stuff. They're doing a Carina series of Flying V's and Explorers, left and right, and they're also doing tribute series of Flying V's and Explorers, which are
What's
basically
tribute?
They're just like black. Basically, they're ebony. They're black with
gold hardware.
No, black hardware actually, and black uncovered pickups.
Are they calling that one? Because the one that I've got down here is the B2 Explorer B2, which I think actually is something again another model. So this has got Dirty Fingers pickups, black hardware, and what looks like a Rosewood board, but it might be powerful.
Yeah, that's no, that's
Dirty Fingers pickups that's in an off-the-shelf Gibson.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
They had Dirty Fingers in
Tom
the
DeLonge.
Not just the Tom DeLonge, but the 70s tributes came out.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, so the
2014?
Yeah,
because
there
was 20th anniversary.
There was the 20. I think maybe it was the 2012s when they did the 50s, 60s, 70s tributes. The 50s tributes were P90s. The 60s tributes were humbuckers, and the 70s tributes were mini humbuckers, and they were well unpopular because mini humbuckers sound rubbish.
That is not true.
Yes, it is.
And mini humbuckers look super cool, especially on SGs.
I couldn't disagree more, but you know, we are where we are. Speaking of, actually, I and just to go on a real quick tangent, I yesterday watched a episode of Top of the Pops from 1970 79, I think it was, or 1980.
They're still allowed to show those.
It was John Peel, so right, you know, fine. So it's fine. It had the Runaways on it, and Joan Jett was playing at first I was like, wow, what a great looking Les Paul. Oh, it's the Les Paul Deluxe mini humbuckers. Rubbish.
I don't mind it in a Les Paul. The one that I can't stand in is the SG. Just looks wrong.
You're so wrong.
I don't mind it in a Les Paul at all.
Fine. Do you know what else is super? I'm not going to lie. Do you know what else is rubbish? the high performance line. I mean, I've never cared about the high performance stuff. But in fairness to Gibson, this year they have sorted out. Do you remember last year on the high performance?
Oh God, they've got more of those fades.
Oh yeah, they have all the dipped finishes. Yeah, it looks very weird. But
I'm into it. Do you know what? I never thought I would be like this. I actually really like them.
So of course they have their chrome humbuckers on the high performance.
That's SG. The thing I don't like. If they release these, but with normal pickups, I'd be way more into them.
But they are again now. So 2018, they lost the pickups around for the humbuckers.
Like they misplaced.
It was just there was no surround, and the only way you could adjust the height of the pickup was through screws that were in the back of the body. Yeah. It proved to be very unpopular, and a lot of people didn't like the look. I actually thought it suited the ethos of the high performance. Anyway, it was super unpopular, and Gibson have listened. Not that any of you listeners would take note of Gibson listening. You're all just going to have a pop at them anyway because you know so blooming well, don't you? But yes, they have moved back to chrome pickup surrounds on these, which I think. I don't know about chrome pickup surrounds. What do you think?
I think what they should do with these guitars is, like, fine.
Put them in the bin.
No, if they want to have the robot tuners, absolutely fine, and make the dip finishes.
Locking tuners now on these.
They're not robots on there.
No, not robots.
Yeah, I was just. That's locking exactly tuners, what I'm.
Have the robots, the robots
zero fret,
gone.
Adjustable.
Robot's gone altogether.
Robot's gone.
Right, so locking tuners.
Well, I wonder what's gone on with Tronicle then.
Well,
coil tap. Probably well, Tronicle would
get into that. Well, so I think for me, fine, do whatever you need to do with this high performance circuit that's in there, whatever. Put the locking tuners on there. Great. Get rid of all the like horrible chrome nonsense that's on there. Get rid of the pickup surrounds. Replace the trussle cover with something like keep the pickup surrounds, but just make them black or white or whatever. And keep the finishes. I like the fades.
Well, actually, I mean, I have to say, so that you obviously this guitar is not for me. Actually, it's not really for any of us. But when I was shooting the demos at work on Thursday when they come in, we had a couple of guys I worked with a very sort of modern, you know, this sort of designer math rocky sort of fellas, very shreddery, very Music Man guitars, very Vigier, those sorts of things. They were really into them. Those dudes really like these guitars, and they're people that like they didn't care about the Double Cut Junior, but they really liked these high performances. Now I do think again, like Gibson have put this at an awkward price point at sort of £3,000. Certainly, a lot of the feedback's going to be negative for this because at that price point, you are competing. If you want to make a bling guitar and you want to make it $3,000, you're competing with PRS, and not just that, you're competing with like PRS private stock. And I mean, as much as I'm really not into PRS guitars, you cannot fault them. They are absolutely perfectly built, and I don't know if Gibson is quite up to taking that particular company on for quality.
So one of the dip switches on the high performance series,
yes,
it says it adds the transient suppression system. Yeah. And I'm trying to work out what that means because I've never heard of it before in my life. I'm just having a quick Google. Do you know what transient suppression is?
Nah. I don't know what any of these things are on that series. I'm absolutely not fast. On the bass front,
it's something to do with the magnetic field, but like limits interference, but isn't that what humbucker is? Like literally humbucker.
I don't know. I'd need to look at it. It sounds like a buzzword for something.
Yeah, I need to do some reading into this. Sorry, basses.
On the bass front,
nothing.
Well, they've changed it up again. Actually, I really like 2018. It's like the return of the RD bass. What a fantastic instrument. You know, the There was some cool stuff in 2018. Anyway, 2019, unfortunately, they've reintroduced the 2017 EB bass, modelled after Tobias.
Which wasn't the cool EB
bass. Not the cool EB bass. Yeah, it was the rubbish Tobias-style one. Really wasn't very good. And they have introduced it. They've got the Thunderbird back in again. Now available in two colours that are virtually identical.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They've gone for Vintage Sunburst, and I think one's called Heritage Sunburst instead.
Heritage Cherry. It's Heritage Cherry Sunburst and Vintage Sunburst. I don't remember them ever being $18.99. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money.
That is roughly what the 2018s are. So not no sort of price change there.
Really?
They are doing left-handed though, which I don't remember seeing before on Thunderbirds.
Cool. That's cool. And
I tell you what, that would be very weird seeing a, like, if you go see a band and you've got, there's a left-handed bass player playing a Thunderbird, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, like, my brain isn't going to be able to, like, compute it. Just like, no, he must, they must be standing the wrong way around. Like, I don't get it. Really weird.
Yeah. Super cool though. Anyway, that is kind of the, that's the Gibson 2019 lineup in a nutshell. Any other models either of you want to mention, or should we move on to the next thing?
There is some stuff with the acoustics in that they've introduced.
Oh, I didn't look at these at all.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of stuff going on there.
I think I forgot to list them.
Good. There's the Acoustic Studio series, which is coming from the Montana factory. More affordable price point. Studio features a walnut back and sides and spruce tops. So you've got an L00, J45, Hummingbird, and SJ200. Price-wise, again, I've only got US pricing here, but they're like $14.99 USD. So quite a bit more affordable.
That's great.
Than the standard series.
I mean, that's great. If you could, if I can buy a Gibson acoustic at that price point, if all of a sudden they're competing with Martin and Taylor
on the low end stuff, definitely, because Gibson's always been, you know, ever since I've been kind of working shops, Gibson's always been at the higher end of the acoustics. They've never really had anything that's kind of competes with the more affordable stuff. Interestingly, they also, all of those models come with LR Bags VTC pickups, which is something that I keep hearing really good things about. So yeah, really interesting. So yeah, the acoustic range is now studio, standard, vintage, and deluxe. Those are your options.
That's great. Some coherence in the and it's always been a bit of a mixed match.
Totally. And I think part of that's historical, you know, because they've had all these like lingering models and things like that. But yeah, I think it's cool that there's now something that's actually affordable. The other thing that they announced in acoustics is the Sustainable series. And they describe it as having a unique and environmentally friendly beeswax based finish, which means Jay can't play it.
Is it going to be made out of cardboard?
And you model wise, you've got L00, J45, and Hummingbird models.
I mean, technically, Gibson's use hide glue across the board these days. So
yeah, also
either me or Jay should be buying this.
Yeah. So in the article, this says Gibson suggests a regular new application of the beeswax finish to keep the wood well moisturized. So I guess what they're doing here is they're like rubbed finishes with this wax rather than a sprayed finish, and I guess that means that they're more environmentally friendly.
Right, okay.
But it'll be like a Warwick, you know, when Warwick guitars come with the beeswax. Warwick basses, sorry, comes with the beeswax pot. I guess it's going to be the same thing. You just have to top it up over time. That could be cool, though.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it might also sound really nice. It could relic well, and also could sound really nice, because obviously one of the limiting factors in kind of guitar tone is the kind of thickness of the finish. So if these are basically unfinished guitars, that might be pretty cool.
Cool. Awesome.
But yeah, I think the introduction of the studios is great, because for me, you know, Gibson acoustics, not much of an acoustic player. I'm not going to spend a ton of money on it, but I really like the sound of Gibson acoustics, but they've always been well above my price point.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'd be really interested to you know, be able to pick up a Gibson acoustic. Like, you know, that's exactly the price point I'd be buying an acoustic at. And I would be looking at Martin, or, you know, if I had no taste, I'd be looking at Taylor.
But they look great as well. I mean, they look pretty much just like a Gibson J45 or a Hummingbird, but I think it's probably the finish is the main thing. It seems a little more stripped back.
Awesome. Well, listener, there is your acoustic guitar update from
for the year. That's the only time we'll ever mention acoustics.
Great, Mark. We have you back for one episode. Yeah. We managed to talk about acoustics. So other things in the news. That is kind of everything on the Gibson 2019 lineup. Like or lump Gibson, there are some really interesting and exciting things there. So I think that is super cool. In other news, news, Earthquaker put together really a rather sort of fetching teaser campaign for a new pedal that then got leaked all over the internet and sort of ruined the launch of their new pedal. But it is now officially released. They've brought a new vibrato to the market. Mark Packham.
Yeah, so brand new pedal from Earthquaker, the Aqueduct Vibrato. It sounds really good. There's like loads of demos all over the internet now. I do recommend people check it out. 8 different modulation settings. So if you're looking for something, you know, vibrato is not generally the most versatile of effect.
What are you saying?
No, I'm not saying you can't use it in loads of different situations. What I'm saying is usually you buy a vibrato pedal and you've got like speed and depth and that's kind of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, whereas this has actually got like 8 different settings, 8 different kind of points to work from on there. And yeah, a variety of vintage style vibrato and newer Cynthia pulsations. The envelope control pitch mode, or as Earthquaker call it, the My Bloody Valentine setting. So yeah, there's it seems like it will do tons of stuff. And vibrato definitely seems to be kind of en vogue at the moment. I don't think before we started this podcast I'd ever known of anyone to ever use a vibrato pedal. And now Joe Branton tells me that basically everyone and his mother is using a vibrato.
Everyone. Yeah, absolutely. It looks super cool. What a great addition to the pedal. I have to say that it was a weird marketing campaign. It was like, if you saw it, it was the pedal covered in black paint, sort of like twisting around in like slow motion whilst the paint dripped from it. And I was like, oh, they've made a Metal Zone. You know, that was
I think everyone this year should do like a fake Metal Zone. Like, there actually is a completely different pedal, but the marketing suggests that it's actually a Metal Zone.
Genius. That is clearly the solution.
Well, just because that's such a, you know, a hot pedal on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. J. Cross, our favorite company, Hotone, have released a power ramp for your pedal board. Everyone's jumping on this. This is what we were talking about earlier. The Headrush, the Helix, Axe FX. Throw away all your actual amp heads. Just get a power ramp.
Yeah, so this is carrying on from... they've released a few things as part of this Legacy Floor series, I think is what they're calling it.
Yeah, because the Legacy was the name of the range, their heads, those mini heads that they did.
Oh, were they? Legacies. Is that what that was?
I believe so.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so this is the Legacy Floor series. Okay, cool. Well, there's a bit of cohesion there. That's interesting. I didn't know that. So yeah, as you say, this is a power amp designed to, I guess, sit kind of on your pedal board. So just a single control on there, just a single volume control. Really, really weird little... weird product for Honto to come out with. But then again, we've been saying that about Moore when they've been bringing out all of these kind of like, I guess, Helix Headrush friendly solutions. So yeah, obviously being Hotone, it's a price that you would expect it to be. So $200 is what it's looking at. Really, really interested to see what goes on with this. I tell you, the big red flag for me, and this is my guitar shop RA sense tingling, and that is that it runs on an 18 to 20 volt DC center positive power supply.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
for the center positive.
So yeah, this is like my palms are already sweating for when I'm running around trying to find a replacement power supply.
Of course. Hotone are known for, you know, like real good customer service and loads of like availability of spares and that sort of thing, you know.
But well, yeah, really interesting. So it's 75 watts. They reckon it will power anything between 4 and 16 ohm cabs. And yeah, like I say, you've just got a single volume, like big knob control for the volume. I tell you what, it is a cut above in terms of everything else that Hotone have done from a design point of view.
Yeah,
it looks really sleek. It looks really, really sleek.
Well, I just think, interesting, if you cast your sort of mind back a decade, you know, what could you get other than the the 44 Magnum and the Caliber 22.
Well, a Marshall 100-100.
Yeah, 2020 rack yeah. power.
Rack. Yeah, I mean, you
exactly.
know.
But it's like, I meant specifically for sort of floor-based
in terms,
power.
Yeah, in terms
ramp.
Of floor. Nothing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That, and, you know, the 22 Caliber is rubbish.
Yeah, well, the 44 Magnum wasn't that much better. And you know, it was okay, it was serviceable. But it's, my God, I wouldn't want to use something like that alongside a Helix. And this really is aimed at that.
I think it's really interesting. And actually, I tell you, I think that with Moore and Hotone and a bunch of other companies bringing out similar things like this, I'm very surprised that there hasn't been an update to the Electro Harmonix, you know, 22 caliber 44 Magnum.
Yeah.
Because at the time, like, I bought a 22 caliber and it really didn't sound very good. But it was really good as a sort of utility thing to have as a backup at a show in case the head goes down. You plug into that, you plug into the cab, and it's like, okay, fine, this will do. It's not great, but it will do. And I'm really surprised that given the change in technology between, and also not just the change in technology, the change in appetite between then and now, I'm surprised that Electro Harmonix haven't released like a larger version. Because I think 22 Caliber and 44 Magnum, great names for the products. I just think if they should just kind of reintroduce them.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, even if you look at Seymour Duncan with their Power Stage 170 now, the floor-based one, it is very, like, I mean, it is £350.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the Hotone's going after, isn't it? It's in that Power Stage amp, exactly. And they've made a similar thing.
Exactly. I mean, of course, Moore released their same in a rack mount version. We are actually running out of time on the podcast, but it was brought to our attention that last week we didn't mention. I think this actually got announced shortly after we'd recorded last week's podcast. But
August 28th, this press release says. So yes, yeah, the yeah, day yeah. we re- the day we released.
So Moore have released their own their preamp live, which is a very, very exciting, interesting sort of stab at the Kemper market, but in a floor based unit. So it is a preamp pedal which can be used with the Moore amp top power amp, and of course they've released their own FRFR. Single 12 cab as well, it all in this really nice sleek white and black finish. I think it looks fantastic. So this preamp pedal integrates with your four foot switches to switch between the different setups you'd have on there, and you know, a ton of sort of amp style rotaries on there. But I think what's most interesting is you can integrate the Moore preamp live. You can plug it into your computer and it gives you access to what they currently have, which is 50 different amp models, and you can download any 12 into the pedal to use the pedal
okay,
remotely.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool, because what I was just about to say is only 2 weeks ago, we talked about the four or five new Moore preamps that they've just released in their pedal series, and now they're kind of making those obsolete. But if what that does say to me, and apologies again for going off on a bit of a tangent here, is, you know how we were talking the other week about how these new preamps just keep coming, they keep like bringing new ones out. If this has got 50 built into their
and they're only on 17
exactly
now,
like they've obviously got a few more to that. Well, you know what they're going to be releasing for the next couple of years, you know. Exactly.
but really interesting. And what is extra good, and I appreciate that, I'm pretty sure Headrush, I'm not sure if Helix has, I think Helix has this feature as well, but obviously what Kemper have popularized is impulse response. So
Helix definitely will. You can load impulse response.
You can. I've just never tried, so I wasn't sure. Yeah, you're right. You can. I remember seeing the option on the drop down.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that that's an addition here.
Is that what you're talking about? What they're calling their tone capture.
Yeah. So you can send that. You can take a snapshot of an existing amplifier that you have. So it's not versatile like Kemper, because you can't manipulate.
You're not doing like a 3D map. Or
no,
whatever.
It's not a 3D map. It's just a snapshot of one particular sound. But that I still think is very, like, that's something that a lot of people will want. It essentially means, like, yeah, fine, they have 50 amps that you have an option of, but you have access to, well, every single amplifier in the world if you want. This can be anything you want it to be. All you've got to do is load it in there.
Can people upload their own impulse responses and their own preamp settings?
I would presume
yes.
so. There's no
You can upload it and then download.
Let me just.
Oh, I see. What you're saying is. Oh, there, what like there to any share?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just thinking about that. It doesn't look like they've got any sort of
But whilst there'll be nothing official, you can do that.
Maybe there'll be like some forum where you can save them and bounce them out to other people.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what a really interesting and brilliant product. Very much a sign of the times, and retailing at only $399. American D's.
That's quite a lot of money.
What's that in pounds?
Well, it'll be 300
quid. Joe clearly doesn't know how money works. I mean, we know that already. But
the old imperial days.
Yeah, but it's still quite. That's still quite. That'll be. It might be 350 street, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's still the price of an amp head, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But that, then again, every time we talk about Moore and every time they bring out a new product, we do say something like, wow, can't believe Moore have brought this out. Maybe we need to start taking them seriously and stop talking about them in terms of a budget brand. And, you know, I've still brought the tone down to that. So, really interesting. Really interesting to see
absolutely,
what they do.
Absolutely. But anyway, that is it for us here on the regular podcast. We will be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to bonus features and mini-series such as Branton's Ranton. And $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honor of having your name read out in one breath by me.
I noticed that there was quite a few extra people on this list.
There are,
since I've left. You boys must be doing a good job, because people seem to be signing up for the Patreon. So
there's actually I do have to scroll now. I can't fit all of the names in point 12 on a document in front of me. So I do have to scroll now. I wonder if that's going to affect my breathing.
You've got to be close. Like, having a look at this list, you've got to be close to be running out of breath now. Surely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last night I drank nearly a liter of vodka as well. So I'm not feeling 100%.
What are you guys doing for backing tracks these days? Not saying that I haven't listened to all the way to the end of the podcast.
Oh yeah, nice. Thanks, mate.
Are you still making them with your mouth?
The last couple of times. I think last time we didn't have anything. We just let the cold, eerie silence of Joe's voice ring out into the night.
I'm up for that again.
I think the week before, Matty put something through.
It was a drum machine. He put a drum machine on. Yeah. My favourite one is still when you put a shepherd tone behind.
Oh yeah, we did that. That was really good. That was really good. Horrible. Just before you go into this, I was thinking about you this week, Joe. As I often do. Because I was watching an episode of, and don't worry, listeners, if you haven't watched it, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I was watching an episode of Better Call Saul from the new series, which is really good. And I was reminded of the Element song. You know, someone just wrote exactly that. Someone just wrote a song where all the lyrics are just the elements from the periodic table of elements. And that is what I think of when you're reading these names out.
You know who can do that song just off the top of his head all the way through? Daniel Radcliffe.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's
just,
on...
as in Harry Potter?
Yeah, as in Harry Potter. I think he was on Graham Norton or something, and he just... They're like, oh yeah, what's your party trick? And he just does the whole song. It's really weird. It's
all right, I'm going to read these names out. Okay, yeah. Ready?
What I'm just saying is, once it gets to the point where, when we get to the point where you can no longer say all the names in one breath, you need to write a song.
I've got a song we can do underneath.
Okay.
Follow my lead. I'll let Joe start
Follow
first.
Follow you.
Okay. All right.
It's relevant to Joe's condition once he finishes the list.
Okay.
Is it...
Start the list.
Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Ethan Jebediah Bartier, Steve, John Brady, Scott Hamilton, Iverton Mayorkas, Merritt Peters, Golden G, Richard III, Sean Albo, Joshua Mitchell, Chris Wilmot Cuthbertson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Gruel, Nate Nagel, Tucker Hamilton, Aaron Lee Cooper, Emery James Baker, Christoph Rapson, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Pritzer, Martin Cliff, Matt Davies, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Jake Gray, Christopher Losek, Ron Correa, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Mancha, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Bill Thompson, Boone Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Just, you look bad. You look bad.
Oh, God, that was really close.
That was really close.
I do not have much.
I reckon a couple more names and you won't be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, a couple more names and we're going to have to get a new gimmick to get people to sign up.
I think you just get a computer voice to read it out.
Yeah, probably something like that. Anyway, there you have it. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GuitarNerds or on YouTube at GuitarNerds Videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where all of our various channels are displayed in all of their glory. And you can even purchase GuitarNerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. That is it from us this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Mark _ random on Twitter, reverb.com. Cheers, bye.
Idiot.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.